23rd chapter. Job in the 23rd chapter. And we will do our best to try to mind the Lord. And this won't, I started to say this won't be a polished message, but none of mine are. They ain't anything but polished. I'm not a polished preacher. If you wanted a polished preacher, you would have had Brother Jackie as your pastor and preacher, but his dialect and dictionary of a mind and lexicon and just intellect is so superior to mine. But like Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that's a long time ago I quit trying to be other preachers and quit trying to be like other preachers, and just all I can be is me, and it ain't about a personality or a preacher anyway. It's about the power of God's word, and so let's take our hearts and eyes and look together. Job 23 and verse number 10, very familiar verse. And the Bible says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." I'm going to preach this evening with the help of God on God's gold mine. God's gold mine. He said, "But he knoweth the way that I take." And boy, ain't you glad when you don't even know where you're going, when you don't even know the direction to head, when you don't even know which step to take, or even where you are, and life has got so foggy that you really don't even know where you've come from. It's just all a haze. And it seems like you couldn't find God if you tried, and he's nowhere to be found. Matter of fact, he said, I looked to my right and I couldn't find him. To my left, he wasn't there. If I was to ascend up into heaven or down. But way more important than you knowing where you need to be or where you are or even where you've been, he knoweth the way that I take. Job emphatically said, God knows exactly where I am. God knows exactly where I'm headed. And not only does he know where I'm going and where I am, but he's going with me. And he's got a plan, and he's purposed this. And it ain't by happenstance. He has a part, not just a part, but he has the whole part in this path that I'm on. Does it feel good? If you was to put a microphone in Job's mouth, absolutely not. It wasn't a feel-good day. It wasn't a feel-good week or even month. Job was suffering. Job had suffered major, major catastrophic loss. And yet, he said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Notice the aftermath. Trials will challenge your faith. And whether we like it or not, whether we're a baby Christian that's only been saved for a week or a month or a year, or whether we're a seasoned, mature Christian, from time to time, our faith needs to be tried. And I don't think God tries our faith and puts us through heartache and hardship and hurts us and allows us to go through pain and suffering and just for the fun of it. Just because he can. No, he's our Father. He's our loving Father. He loves us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves us, and me being an earthly father, I would never toy with my children and trample on my children and hurt my children and just for the fun of it, do something to my children that would cause them pain, just for the fun of it or just to pass the time away. I remember my daddy, I love him, but when I was growing up and little, he would go to the garden and carry me down. One of the memories I have, just little, he'd take me down to my papa's garden and he'd pick some of them cayenne peppers, I mean hot as firecrackers, and he'd say, here boys, let's see which one of y'all can take it, and he'd say, I'll give you a quarter. And back then a quarter was a lot more than it is now, and we'd eat that, take a bite of that hot pepper, and he would laugh, and boy, he got a kick out of it. And I said that to say this. It's one thing to play a joke and to have fun. Preacher Kerrigan used to do that. He'd rim white hot peppers on, and Deb would too. They would tag team and get me, and that's how they introduced me to the family. I'll never forget. I was down at the preacher's house, and he, preacher, took a hot pepper and took a straw and just gouged that pepper all down in it, and I took a big drink of that out of that straw, and it lit me on fire, and he laughed and laughed, and Deb come running to the rescue, my loving mother-in-law, and after I tell you this, you'll see how mother-in-law's got a bad name, but I'm kidding. I got the best, but she said, here, I'm so sorry, I can't believe he daddy done that, and here's you. And she had fixed me another drink, and she had reamed that thing with hot pepper, and so they double dosed me. And so it's one thing. My point is, it's one thing for fun and games, but no father in their right mind that loves his child will hurt their child. If your child's hungry, would you give him a rock? If your child's thirsty and you had it within your means to quench that thirst, would you not give it to him? How much more will our Heavenly Father? And so my point is, nothing that I'm going through, nothing that you are going through or ever have gone through or ever will go through is because God is playing games with you, and God's getting a kick out of your suffering and your pain. God was well aware of what Job had been through and was going through. And Jesus, the Bible says, he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And so this was not something that the Lord took lightly. It hurt the heart of God, I believe, to have to let Job go through this and just part for a minute with Job, but think about how it had to hurt the heart of God and break the heart of God to allow Jesus, his only begotten, to be hurt and crucified and mocked. But yet, for the greater purpose, in Jesus and in Job and in me and in you, when you're suffering, we must know he knows the way that we take. And when we've come through it, and thank the Lord we will come through it, we'll come forth as gold, because God has a gold mine, and he's doing what he's doing in your life and in mine for a reason. And his ways are above ours. His understanding is above ours. And when we can't comprehend, we must place our faith in the one who saved us and loved us enough to give his son. And if he loved us enough to give his son to die for us and take our black, wretched, wicked hearts and clean us and save us and redeem us and rescue us from hell and give us a home forever in heaven. If he loved us that much to pay the ultimate price, the price that could only be paid with his beloved son's blood, I promise you, he ain't allowing you to go through anything that's going to hurt you or cause you pain that he has not calculated and thought out and thought through and knows it is necessary for his glory and for your good. And there's a process to God's gold mine. So the aftermath, trials will challenge your faith. Trials will change your face. So what do you mean? It'll put worry and wrinkles on your face. It'll put gray hair on your head. It will age you. And I'm being sincere. Have you ever been through something so traumatic you feel like you aged years at a time when it was really just months? The death of a child. The death of a husband. A child that has run away and they're breaking your heart. And you beg God and plead with God. And though it's only been a year or two, it feels like it's been going on for an eternity. And it ages you. And it changes you. But God ain't doing that and God ain't allowing that. For no reason. He has a plan, and I promise you, when you come through, you'll come forth as gold. And I want to look at the life of Job and take this thought of God's gold mine. Not only does trials challenge our faith and change our faith, but trials will confirm our foundation. It confirms our foundation is the Savior and the Savior alone. It confirms the foundation. When we go through the trial of our faith, when we go through the trying of our life, when we go through the storm of our life, when we go through something that's so real that it makes us question everything we've ever believed, and it drives us to God, and it drives us when we've got cold on Him and distant from Him, and sort of life's been so good, and we've got lackadaisical at reading our Bible and praying and seeking the face of God, and just study the history of Israel, the apple of God's eye, God's chosen. The whole Old Testament is full of story after story, war after war, plague after plague, where God's children, the apple of His eye, His chosen, His beloved people would have it so good, and then they would, by nature, as we do, they would drift and they would get cold and they would fail to realize and forget the goodness of God, and they would drift from God and get calloused and cold and turn back to sin and start letting things slide, and things that they once stood firm on, and things that they once absolutely would have never done or never thought. Life that's sunshine and life that's a bed of roses and life that's easy leads every one of us, none of us are immune to getting to a place where we, knowingly or not, forget how much we need Him and forget how good He's been to us. And so just like He did with the children of Israel, and just like He did with Job, He must do with me and with you. And He allows heartache. He allows storms and trials and tragedy to strike to drive us back to Him. And it is costly. And it is hurtful. And it is painful. But I promise you, when He's done, the finished product will be exactly what He set out to be, and it'll be gold. And not just gold, but pure gold that's been through the furnace and through the fire, and all the dross and the imperfections have been removed. It'll be transparent. Not only does it confirm our foundation is the Savior, but it confirms our foundation is solid, rock solid. When everything else is shifting sand, when life falls apart and the bottom falls out and your world and mine begins to crumble, it'll drive us back to the reality that the only sure thing we have, the only sure foundation we know, it's Christ and Christ alone. No wonder the songwriter said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And so notice the aftermath, then notice the attitude. There's a courage in what Job said. He said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. God was around." Job realized it's hard and it's heavy, but I'm not alone. God was around. And it put a confidence and a courage in Job's voice. And he said, "On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Not only was God around, but God was aware. God was aware of what he was going through. And there's a not only do we see the courage in what Job said, but there's a consideration in what Job said. He said, through Job we learn two things. Don't waver when you're in the storm. When you feel like you're in the furnace, don't waver. Job said, "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." When it gets hard, it ain't time to run. When it gets heavy, it ain't time to run. When you're in the refiner's fire, it's time to stay and trust the process and trust the one who has got you there and trust the very foundation and the Father that you can trust and know deep down. And when life is good, we got to get it buried deep down into our faith, that he won't do me wrong, that he won't lead me wrong. And though it may hurt, it's for my good and his glory. And my faith will not shake and my foot will not slide. And I'll never point a finger and say, you've done me wrong. Lord, you this ain't fair. No, he's God and he does right. And everything that God does is right. No matter when we don't understand, no matter when it don't add up, no matter when it don't seem fair. It wasn't fair when they nailed his son to bloody Calvary. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair to the God of heaven to see his son stripped and mocked. It wasn't fair that it was for my sin and for your sin. It wasn't fair, but I'll tell you what is fair. It's fair when God puts us in the refiner's fire. It's fair when God allows us to go through heartache and pain. It's fire when God takes a loved one. It's because, listen, it was God who gave us them in the first place. And rather than curse him and doubt him for taking them too soon, we should bless him for the time we had. And so we see he didn't waver, but he did worship, even when it was hard. When life is hard, and when you're in the fire, in the trial of your life, it's right to worship. And I know it ain't easy, but it is possible. And I believe it helps you get through the process faster. If you want to prolong the process, if you want to prolong the pain, then show God and bare your chest at God and shake your fist at God and let God know that you ain't learned the lesson he's trying to teach you and buck up on God and get bitter at God and wag your hand at God and the longer we do that and the harder we get and the longer we prolong ourself of being there. But if we can learn to worship and to say, "Though he slay me, Though he slay me, I'll follow him and I'll believe him and I'll trust him and my faith will be in him. He said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And so there's a courage in what Job said, and there's a consideration in what Job said, and then there's a confidence in what Job said. Keep in mind, he had 10 fresh grave plots of all of his youngins. Not one. Not three. All 10 children. All of his herds, all of his flock, all of his finances. Everything he'd ever worked for. His health from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Yet there was a confidence in what Job said. He said, I shall. Not I might make it. People ask me, how you doing, preacher? How you doing? And sometimes I slip up and without thinking, I'll say, I'm all right. Brother Stephen, you texted me yesterday. He said, how you doing today? I said, I'm doing okay. What a pathetic answer. And I apologize. And I apologize to the Lord. Because God's been good to me. And I'm telling you, I got some issues and I got some problems, and I ain't out with a microphone blaring out my problems, but hey, just like the rest of us, we all got problems. And listen, problems are like the sparks fly upward. Trouble, man's got few days and full of trouble. Yes, we all got troubles and we all got heartaches and listen, we all got finances that we wish were better, and we all got health that we wish were better, and we all got children that we wish were closer, and we all got issues, but Job said with a confidence in his voice, and he wasn't bashful about it, and he wasn't backing down, but by faith in confidence he said, I shall come forth as gold. And it said two things. Don't get bitter. Verse 16, he said, for God maketh my heart soft. Let me know. Job said, no matter what you do to me, Lord, I ain't getting bitter at you, Lord. By the grace of God, I'm going to be better, not bitter. When this process, When you get done with me, Lord, when you finally pull me out of the fire, I'm not going to be bitter at you, Lord. But I say in confidence, I shall come through this. I will come through this. And when the refiner pulls me out, when you bring me out of this, my heart's soft. You've tenderized my heart. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry at you. But by the grace of God, I want to be better. And I understand you're not trying to hurt me to be hurting me, and you're not harming me, but you're helping me. And I, when I can't comprehend or understand, I'll place my faith and my full confidence and know, oh God, keep my heart soft towards you. And so, don't get bitter, just get better. And that's the introduction. Job understood. Listen, I've spoiled y'all. And this ain't gonna be no 20-minute message. Job understood some things about God's gold mine. And so should every one of us. Every child of God can understand God's gold mine by looking at the life of Job and keying in and peeking in and looking at some of the things that Job was able to understand as he went through it. Number one, he understands the picture. Job 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 2. He said, thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You know what Job was saying? You know what David, the psalmist, was saying? I understand the picture. I understand that God's, He's sitting high up in the heavens, and this thing is bigger than me, and His thoughts are way above mine, and there's more going on than what my little old pea brain can understand. And so when I can't understand, and when I can't figure it out, and when I can't calculate it, I'll just understand the picture that there's more involved than just me and my feelings. I understand God's got a great big portrait that He's working on, and I'll trust Him. But He knoweth the way that I take, and when He tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows, understanding the picture, He knows all about the tears. Listen, Isaiah 38:1-5, in those days, five verses, He deals with tears. Isaiah said, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Verse 2, He talks about Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Then verse 3, and Hezekiah wept sore. Verse 4, then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer and have seen thy tears. He sees the shedding of tears. Not only does He see your tears, but He bottles them up. They're precious to the Lord. You've never shed a tear that He didn't take notice. And not only take notice, but stop what He was doing and come and bottle your tears. And Job said, I understand the picture. He sees the shedding of tears. Those tears represent problems and prayers. Not only does He see the shedding of tears, but He sees the stain of tears. Tears that stain the mourner's bench. Tears. I've got Bibles that I can't read that I've had to put on the shelf because in study, in some of the darkest days of my life, I'd open my Bible and I'd have the Word of God under my chin, and as the tears would drip off my face onto the pages of God's Word, it would stain the Bible and it would stain the ink and they would run together. And listen, there's altars I could take you to where the tears dripped off my face, and though the wood may not be stained, listen to me, had it been something that it could stain, it would have, because they were puddles of tears through the hardest times of my life, through times I didn't understand, but I knew there's a God in heaven who did understand and did comprehend and had a work that He was working in my life. And He promised that when He started a work, He would complete it and He would see to it. And He saw my tears and He bottled my tears and He caught my stains and He knows what I'm going through. And Job said with authority and full understanding, and he said, I understand the picture. I might not know all the details, but I see the picture. He's working on me. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And though it ain't over, He sees my tears. He sees the stains. Not only does He know about all the tears, but He knows all about the temptations. Say, temptations. Well, sure. You don't think Job was tempted? I ain't trying to re-preach. I just remind us all, Brother David, 10. I don't know what it's like, Brother Jimmy. My heart breaks even saying it. But I don't know what it's like to bury a child. Can't comprehend it. It's Sandy, but I don't know that pain. Several of you in this room have had to go through the unbelievable pain of bearing a child. And though I can't comprehend it, and though I can't fix it, and I wouldn't dare tell you I know what you're going through, because I don't. But I will say to you, God put a man in the Bible by the name of Job to let you know Job could say convincingly, I see the picture. He sees my tears. He sees my stains. And he comprehends and he understands. And he knows all about the temptations. And it don't mean you're going to go through it with flying colors. Brother Jimmy, when I come to your house and that morning that you called me, as broke as you was, listen, I know the devil tempted you and you want to ask, why, Lord, why? And many others. And the temptation, I promise you, the devil come and beat me to your house and camped out at your house and was there on your shoulder saying, why would God do that? Why would a just God allow that to happen to you? Why would God rob you, Miss Kathy? Why would he take him? So I'm here to tell you, listen, the devil will tempt you, but could I remind you, he's a liar and the father of it. And God's true, and let God be true and every man a liar. God's right no matter what, and the devil's a liar. And Job said, though I don't understand, though I don't comprehend, I see the picture. He sees my tears. He sees the stains. And listen, though temptation comes, I know when I come forth, I will come forth as gold. And you will. Many of you thought you'd never make it through that day or that week. But here you are. By the grace of God, here you are. And it's natural and it's normal to start storming and stomping and complaining and questioning. And I'm not here to tell you, I've said it ignorantly before, you shouldn't ever question God, and it's a sin to question. And I've heard other preachers say that, and that's hogwash. I ain't dare gonna say, don't you ask God why. It ain't a sin, because if it was, Jesus would have sinned when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'm sure you felt forsaken. I'm sure through some of the heartaches and the hardest days of your life, you felt like God done you wrong, and you looked to heaven, and if it didn't come out your lips, it was definitely laying on your heart. Why, Lord? Why me? Why did you let my marriage break? Why did you let my child go astray? Why did you let my health go? Why? And the temptations will be there. And we will stomp and storm, and we will ask why, and we will get upset, and we'll get angry. Jeremiah 20 verse 8, he said, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me. Not only will you start storming, but you'll stop speaking. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then I said, I'm talking about being tempted. And Jeremiah said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, after what I've went through, after the way the Lord's dealt with me, I'll not speak his name again. I'll never open his word again. I'll never preach another sermon. I'll never testify again. I'll never give him glory again. I'll never raise my hand and say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I'll shut my mouth when I tried, though I was tempted to throw in the towel. I had to go pick my towel back up because his word was like a fire burning in my bones, and I couldn't help but to open his word and to proclaim his word. And though you're tempted, don't let the devil tell you you're over and you're finished and you failed God because you were tempted. It ain't a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. Amen. You are human. And you will be tempted, and there will be times you'll storm and stomp, and there'll be times that you will want to stop speaking his name. He knows about the tears and the temptations. I'm talking about Job understands the picture, and I'm trying my best to help us understand the picture of what you're going through. Understanding God's working from His gold mine, and there will be a finished product. He said He knows about the tears and the temptation, but He also knows about the timing. And the timing, oh my, as bad as the tears are, as bad as the temptations can be, time is one of the hardest things you'll ever have to deal with. Just that question of, Lord, how much longer? I don't know how much longer I can take it, Lord. I don't know how much longer. Don't you know Job was saying, Lord, how much longer? Lord, how much more? Lord, I can't take it another day. Lord, I can't take it another hour. Lord, I can't take it. How much longer? Time had come to a grinding halt. My seconds seemed like months, and days seemed like weeks, and weeks seemed like years, and months seemed like an eternity, and time just grinded slow and slow. And the time was tearing at Job. The time was ripping Job's heart out. And he wondered, Lord, how much longer? But keep in mind, he understands the picture. God's got His own timetable. And a day is 1,000 years. Listen, God's timing is so much different than ours. And what feels like an eternity to us, God, I promise you, God's plan will not be altered. God's plan, He'll get you through this. He'll get you through this just as fast as He possibly can. He'll see to it that you don't spend 1 second longer than you have to in the refiner's fire. He'll see to it that you don't have to sit underneath the furnace and burn and blaze and hurt and be heartbroken any longer than it has to happen. But in order for you to come forth as gold, in order for you to be purified, in order for God to make you the trophy of grace He's making, there's a time that it takes, and you won't be there no longer than you have to. And Job's seeing the picture. He knows the right time for a song and for strength. Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Just by way of application, he understood the picture because he knew about the tears, the temptations, and the timing. And my question to you and my question to me, do you understand? Are you starting to understand the picture of what God's allowing you to go through? It ain't all gloom. It's a gold mine. And you're in the hands of one who is going to take better care of you than you could ever take care of yourself. Not only did he understand the picture, but also he understood the path. And I'm trying to hurry, but hang with me. If you're bored, I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can, as fast as I can. He understood the picture, but he also understood the path. Job 23:10 again, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. Listen to them words. He knoweth the way that I take. Job didn't say, my wife knowed the way that I took. He didn't say, my children knows the path that I'm on. He said, he. In other words, the path of heartache and the path in the furnace that you're on is filled with the presence of God. The path that you're on, you're not on alone. His presence is there. Job said, I have His presence on this path. Since He knows the way that I take, that means He's with me. Matthew 28:20, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. On this path, I know He is with me because I could hear Job say, I feel His closeness. Though it hurts, I can feel His closeness through prayer and through praise. As I worship Him, He hugs on me and He allows me to lay on His bosom, and I can feel the heartbeat of God, and I can feel the closeness of God. Not only His closeness, but His comfort through the Scripture and through the Spirit. Not only do I have His presence on the path, Job said, but I have His purpose on the path. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work. Listen, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according. Listen, there is, and if you haven't got nothing, start seeing the picture, but get this, there is a purpose. And it may not be a purpose that you understand right now. It may not be a purpose that you can figure out right now, but there is a purpose that God's doing what He's doing, and it is, I promise you, so that He can bring you forth as gold. And Job said, I'm on this path. I'm beginning to understand the picture. I'm beginning to see the path because His presence and because of His purpose. After the trial, everybody will see that the purpose included winning. Brother Jackie said it this morning. We're on the winning side. Ain't you glad? As hard as life can get, and you may feel like you went 0 and 100, and you may feel like you've lost every game you've tried, and you've struck out at everything you've attempted, and you can't, but can I remind you, you are a winner. If you're saved, hey, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Why? Because you're a winner. You are more than a conqueror. You have the victory. We are winners. And he started seeing and understanding. Oh, I see the picture. I see the purpose on this path. And others will begin to see we're winning. And not only are we winning, but the worth. When you come forth as gold, you will be worth way more to Christ and to the church and to this world than you ever was before. There's worth in this process. When God's done with you, the pain will have been worth it. You'll be a better daddy. You'll be a better mama. I wasn't going to the gory details of that little woman sitting right there. But she went through hell on earth. And she had to raise three boys all by herself and do the best she could. And I saw the pain and the heartache. And as a little boy, best I could, I couldn't understand. But I can promise you this. She come forth as gold. Amen. And she's worth more now than she ever could have been. And God knew. God knew. And I'm telling you, He's no respecter of persons, and what He's got you going through is for a purpose. And the path that you're on is for a purpose. And you are winning, whether you feel it or not, and you are worth something. And as the day goes by, and as the week rolls on, and as the month progresses, you're becoming more and more worth. You're worth more and more. And when He's done, you'll never dream what you'd be worth. But He's going to set you up on His mantle and display you while the ages roll on as a trophy of His grace and His goodness. And it had to be this way. If it could have been any other way besides Jesus having to go to an old rugged cross, Don't you know God would have done it? If there could have been any other way that God could have done through the life of Job, I think about the millions, yea, billions of people that God has touched through the life of Job. It took every tear. It took every stain. It took every heartache. It took every grave. It took every child. It took every bull. It took it all so that God could put him in his word and minister to countless millions and millions and millions and show, make an open show of the devil and his defeat. God's doing way bigger things than we can see. And you are worth something. And this trial and this furnace experience is making you worth way more. And Job said, I'm beginning to see and understand this picture. And this process and this path. And everybody can worship in the end. Don't you know? And I'm hurrying, I promise. But don't you know, one of my favorite verses, if you skip all the way through, you read the first part of Job and just get all the gory guts and all the bad, and this messenger came and this and that, and it took, and all was destroyed and all was lost. Then you run fast as you can run, and you go to Job 42:10, and God turned the captivity of Job and gave him twice as much as he had before. And you can just see on that hillside down at old Job's house, new barns have been erected. New cattle are out in the field. And listen, new lambs are there. And new grass has grown. And listen, there's brand new children, twice as many, twice as beautiful. They're there. And can't you hear them saying, glory to God. Praise the Lord. I never thought I'd be able to worship again. I never thought I'd be able to praise Him again. But God turned my captivity. And God, I said it way back then, I shall come forth as gold. And here I am by the grace of God. And I'm worth something. And every tear and every stain and all that I went through was worth it, because here I am. I got way beyond my wildest dream, exceeding abundantly above that I could ask or even think. He did. And Job said, I'm beginning to see the picture and the purpose, and God's got a gold mine. God's got a gold mine. Said, I see the parameters on this path. Behind me, he'll whisper. Isaiah 30:21, in thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Ain't you glad God ain't way out there ahead of you and you having to run to keep up? But when you get so weak and weary you can't walk, and you feel like you're all alone, and like the church and everybody that's in good health and good strength, they've outrun you and you've just been left behind, could I ask you, just turn around and listen to Him whisper on the path you're walking. He's there. And He's still giving you advice, and He's still giving you direction. He's still guiding you, even from behind, is that sweet whisper from the God of heaven. And if that wasn't enough, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm talking about the parameters. Behind me, He'll whisper. Before me, He will walk. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. He it is that doth go before thee. I'm saying He's behind you. Job was saying, I looked to my right and couldn't find him. I looked to my left. I looked up, I looked down, I looked all around and couldn't find him. But he's starting to see the parameters. Though I can't find him and can't see him, I can sense him, I can feel him, and he knows the way that I take. And come to find out, when I couldn't see him and I couldn't hear him, he was there all alone. He was behind me whispering and holding me up and girding me and guiding me. And then when I thought he was behind me, I turned around and lo and behold, he was in front of me. And I looked to my right and he was there too. He was everywhere. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Pray this in the altar tonight. Praying with somebody. And I pray this every day. Lord, Isaiah prayed this. And I made it part of my prayer life. Go before me and make the crooked places straight. And break in sunder the bars of iron. You ain't alone on this path. He's already went before you. He's behind you. He's beside you. And Job understood the picture and the path of God's gold mine. And that leads me to ask you, do you understand? Are you starting to see the picture? Are you starting to comprehend the path that God's got you on? It's the picture and the path of His gold mine. I know what time it is, and I'll be done in just a second. With God's gold mine in mind, Job understands the picture and the path, but he also understands the proving. He said, when he hath tried me, there is a proving. You don't become a trophy of grace by living a life of ease. You don't become purified gold without a trying, without this process of proving. Psalm 11:5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. I'm going to close reading these scriptures. I have more to preach, but I'm going to close right here and just read you some scriptures. And I'm talking about the trying, because this is what it all boils down to. I'm talking about God's gold mine. Please hear me, and we're done. I'm just going to read you some scripture. We've been in the Old Testament. We've been looking at the life of Job and the heartache and the trials and the process of pain that took Job down the path and showed him the picture of God's gold mine. Only for him to come out when he come forth as gold. But I want to end and let you know this was not just some Old Testament story. This was not, and by the way, Job is the oldest book in your Bible, not Genesis. I mean, this goes all the way back. You ain't the first one to hurt. You ain't the first one to experience pain. All the way back. I mean, as old as you can imagine and fathom, God had a gold mine, and God allowed pain, and you ain't the first and you won't be the last. But in the New Testament, I thought of another man, and I thought about who could I show that understands this proving process. And I can't think of anybody any better. Job said, when he hath tried me. Philippians chapter number 3, verse 7. The Bible says, and this is none other than the Apostle Paul. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I have already attained. I hadn't already attained. Neither were already perfect. In other words, there had to be a proving. There had to be a process of pain to get me to where he's wanting me to be. 2 Corinthians, same man, same writer, chapter 11, Paul says, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that were without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I'll glory of those things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And he goes in the next chapter, and this is the conclusion, and this is why. Paul went through all that he went through, and Job went what he went through, and Paul's letting us know, why must we go through the painful process? If we are going to go to God's gold mine and come forth as gold, why? Here's why. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me, lest any man should think of me, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then, and only then, am I strong. Being tried, being proved, is proof you're His. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, I think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. The heat of the furnace will bring you help. God's gold mine, what you're going through, I promise, is for your good and God's glory. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, from the depths of my heart. Thank you, Lord. Even when it hurts, Lord, help us to take pleasure in our infirmities. God, that the power of Christ would rest upon us. God, help us like Job to begin to see the picture, the portrait, oh God, the path and the purpose, Lord, that you have us on. And God, that you're still working on us, Lord. God, that you're still working out the infirmities. And God, you wouldn't do anything, not anything, that you don't have to do, Lord, to make us into the image of your Son. And God, when you're finished, we shall come forth as gold. Oh God, I beg of you for those that are hurting, for those that are in the midst of the furnace tonight, God, for those that are feeling the flames lick at them, God, for those who have fresh tears, God, and stains on their pillow, God, for those that's cried themselves to sleep this week, God, for those who have a million questions, for those, oh God, who may be angry and upset and questioning you, God, remind them of your word. Remind them of Job. God, please, in Jesus' name, may you, the Holy Spirit of God, do what I could not do. Lord, take my stammering lips, stuttering tongue, scattered thoughts, and I pray, oh God, that we'd all leave tonight knowing not just that you're God, but that you're a God that has a gold mine, that you care enough about us to take us in, to work on us, to purify us. And you're doing it just as fast as you can, Lord. Help us to trust you. Grow our faith. Grow our confidence. We'll give you honor and glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing. God, all that you're going to do. In Christ's name.